Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse futures and options exchange. CME Group's markets help individuals and businesses around the world effectively manage risk. For access to free educational tools and resources for the active individual trader, please visit activetrader.cmegroup.com.
Every day, traders and investors dive in to tackle the ever-changing markets to find opportunity. Futures Radio Show is your number one source for answers to the questions that all market participants want to ask. Veteran futures trader Anthony Crudele sits down with the most influential leaders and top traders in the industry. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudele.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in for this episode with Jamie Valenzuela. Remember, new shows are posted on Mondays and Thursdays. You could subscribe to the show on iTunes and YouTube. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a review on iTunes. Before I play today's interview for you, I want to give a shout out to the great sponsors of Futures Radio Show. CME Group, Trading Technologies, RJO Futures, and Top Step Trader. To learn more about these sponsors and the important things they are doing for futures traders, be sure to click on their logos on our website. Today I spoke with the principal of Algorithmic Futures Inc., Jamie Valenzuela. Jamie talks about how he went from a discretionary trader to an algorithmic trader. He explains his process for developing his algo strategy and how he backtests and then takes a strategy live. We talked about the differences between algos and HFTs and how his algo strategy adapts to changing market conditions. Last but not least, we discussed data science and modern algorithmic systems. So without further ado, let me take you right to the interview with Jamie. How did you get involved in trading futures?
I have a degree in electrical engineering, and I have been working as a software architect in the movie industry for years. But I've been trading and investing my own money for a long time. I started trading stocks back in 1996 over the phone with my broker at that time, Payne Weber in Newport Beach. And I used to read Barron's magazine to get trading ideas and to look at charts back then. Half of my Sunday routine at that time was to read the magazine from cover to cover and to see if there was anything there that I would like to trade or invest. A few years later, I opened an account with newcomer E-Trade and then also with Schwab. And at the same time, Payne Weber disappeared. So it all became electronic trading. I traded and invested in a fundamental and discretionary way for many years. But in 2010, I began to trade the S&P 500 E-mini futures in a discretionary fashion, as I tried to narrow the scope of available investments from the universe of stocks to a few highly liquid instruments. And since my background is in audio and electrical engineering, I began to approach trading as a systems engineering challenge. And back in 2014, I started to analyze data other than price to find an edge and to improve the probability of having successful trades. So I learned R and developed a process for creating trading algorithms. I also wanted to remove myself from the execution as a primary goal because it was very stressful and emotions were very high, especially when I began to trade futures. The algorithms that I developed since then became the tandem trading program. That is basically a set of algorithms that work in tandem, as the name states, that exploit data patterns, and the algorithms operate at different times in the trading day. So that's what I do today.
I love how you went back to your strengths. Obviously, you struggled at the beginning. We all do, right? Nobody comes into this business and just starts making money, at least nobody I know. And you went back to things that you felt were your strengths and started building, strategies, algorithmic strategies from there. I'm curious, how long did it take from when you started until eventually you got profitable?
I would say 3 years was a in the algorithmic space when I began to automate the strategies. 2 to 3 years to basically develop all these different algorithms to trade together to generate profits, and that also included finding instruments that would complement each other, like the E-mini and the treasuries, for example, trading together in tandem. But yeah, basically in that sense, from the algorithmic side, about 3 years to develop the process. And developing the process was the most important thing. So that became something that I follow today, every day, and it's come up with a hypothesis from observation. So spending time looking at charts, looking at news, looking at different kinds of data that affect the market or that move the market. And then proving or disproving the hypotheses using code. So writing code, looking at the data to model that assumption. And using backtesting to either prove it or disprove it. And if it is proven to have an edge, then that has to be moved into a live trading environment because there is a difference in the execution. Backtesting can be tricky because there's areas where you could be either overfitting or you could be assuming that your market orders or your limit orders are executed perfectly. So you have to move that into a live trading environment to see how it actually executes. And that takes some time to validate as well. So it is a long process to develop this algorithm.
Absolutely. I want to talk specifically about your process. First, I want to know what markets you are trading and then why you decided to trade those markets.
So the probably the most important consideration for me was to try to narrow the time frame for the trade. So I decided to only do intraday trading because it was easier to predict the direction of price. And that is simple because if the longer you have a position, the more unknowns can come into the equation, like some announcement from the Federal Reserve that changes the course of what you had set up as your trade. So when you do intraday, that becomes easier. And for that, I needed to find instruments that were very liquid. So that was the second most important assumption. It's liquidity, so that I could issue a market order and be filled without any hiccups. So I looked at instruments like the S&P 500, the E-mini, and also the 10-year treasuries, and I picked those because they're highly liquid, and I could day trade those instruments without any problems in terms of the execution, and also because they are not 100% correlated, so that would give me a hedge if you some way to hedge the against each other.
What I find really interesting is that you chose the E-mini S&P in the 10-year, not because you felt that you had a better edge in understanding those markets. It was really because you wanted to trade intraday and you wanted liquidity. So that was at the top of your list. And, for me, the reason I actually trade those two markets as well, And the reason I choose them is because I feel that they resonate with me. Like when I look at what's happening in the fundamentals or the technicals, I feel that they respond very well. So that's why I choose to trade them, but just really different reasons than you do. And what I want to talk about is determining a trade. You know, so when you're building an algorithmic strategy, what is it in this strategy? Is it technicals? Is it fundamentals? Is it a combination of the two? Is it order flow? What ultimately determines you to get in and out of a trade?
So it's a combination of things. Part of my edge is that I found that developing one single algorithm that would cover every possibility was impossible. And developing highly focused algorithms to trade, for example, the opening, the first 30 minutes of the open, and then the closing, the last 30 minutes of the trading day, as well as implementing an algorithm that was very effective in detecting mean reversion and other algorithms that would focus on trend following intraday, in the middle of the day, for example, was an advantage. So that's what I did. I have an algorithm that looks at the open, and if there is a gap in either long or short, then I fade it. And it's backed with backtesting and other kinds of data to say, yeah, it's very likely that this gap is going to fade. So that's one example of how the observation led to developing a hypothesis of what's going to make this revert to the mean, and then do the backtesting to prove and to see what, you know, the percentage of trades were profitable, how much profit can you achieve, in what time frame, whether, you know, it was just the first 15 minutes, 30 minutes for the whole day, et cetera. And after proving that, moving that into the real world and deploy that algorithm into a live trading scenario.
And just to confirm, because I think you already mentioned this, is that when you say backtesting, you are actually backtesting through live trades, right? I think you said that.
So it's both. It's two separate processes. So the backtesting I do with historical data. So taking, I typically go back to 15 years or 12 years and divide the data sets for testing the algorithm once it's developed. So keeping a set of data untouched. That part takes place with non-real-time data. That is, I typically use R. It's a statistical software to look at those data sets and to be able to visualize how that particular hypothesis may be proven true or wrong, true or false. So that backtesting is not in real time. It's all based on historical data.
I want to stay on backtesting just for a second here, because I think that what I have found so difficult about moving into automated trading for myself personally is that things always looked so good on the backtesting, and then when they would go live, they never worked out the same way for me, at least. So I've always gone back to what my strengths are, as being, you know, using what I feel my edge, which is me and my execution, you know, manually, point and clicking. So how did you find a way to use a backtesting system that gave you the confidence to then I don't want to say go all in on a strategy once it was live, but how does the process work from backtesting to then going live to where you then are committed to it, committed to that strategy?
Sure. And it is very tricky. I experienced the same thing that you experienced when I began this process. But what worked for me is that, let's say, you know, we have 12 years of data in the AE, for example, to work with. So taking samples of that data in different market environments is key. So I always use like 2007 to 2009, for example, that data set to see and to prove and to understand how an algorithm would behave in those years. And it's not, I don't use that data all the data to develop the program, but to verify. So that's important. So let's say you choose the past 5 years to develop the algorithm, and you generate the code based on that. And the way you verify that it will actually, or to have an idea how it will actually behave in real trading, is that you take that same code and alter and apply it to, let's say, that period of 2007 through 2009, and you see what happens, right? And then you take that same code and you apply it to 2003 to 2006 and see what happens. And then you have an idea of what it will actually do in different market conditions without overfitting to make it look good and profitable under a particular set of circumstances. So I think that's when algorithm developers get in trouble, is overfitting. They start tweaking parameters and tweaking the code so that it looks good on a particular set of circumstances. But when the market changes, then surprise, it behaves in a way that you never saw before.
I love how you explain that, because it makes perfect sense to me now that I have gone through it a little bit myself. And this is a mistake that I definitely made, is that I didn't test it far enough back and look at it under those times where the markets were really busy and not so busy, and actually compare how it would perform. Very interesting to me. How active is your algorithmic strategy? I mean, you're not an HFT.
No, it's not. Sometimes it trades 2-3 times in a day, and sometimes it just sits on the sideline. So it probably does, and on average, 40 trades in a month. But sometimes it's less than that, depending on what's happening.
Yeah, because I think so many people really do confuse the two, right? It's amazing that people still confuse the two, even though they are very different in HFT versus algorithmic strategy. They're not the same.
No, yeah. High frequency trading requires a different set of skills and a lot of capital to have very good connectivity and proximity to the exchanges. That is a very different style.
Yeah, it's a different fight. You know, that's a fight for speed. You're not trying to compete for speed. Like you even said, a lot of your orders are market orders.
Right.
Yeah. What determines a loss? Are you working, you know, hard stops? Is it a market order if something happens? How are you determining loss into the system?
Yeah, so it's a combination of hard loss. So it's a stop loss with a market order that is basically in terms of a dollar amount. That is the maximum loss that would take me out. But also, if the conditions in the market change, it would take me out as well. Gotcha. So those two work together. And I also have trailing stops in the program. So if the price starts to move in the opposite direction at a very fast pace, it will take me out as well and try to keep some of the profits.
Oh, so there's multiple things that go on. One, it could be a
Yes.
hard stop.
Yes.
Second, it could be change of conditions.
Yes.
And third, you're just working trailing stops, and that's to protect
The
winning
profit.
trades. Yeah, protect the
Yes.
profits.
Yes.
Yeah. What I want to talk about next is I think that this is another, I'm going back to my own personal experience with these. I don't have a ton of experience with them. I spent a couple of years, I would say, right around that, working on one strategy that was what I use to trade manually, but I tried to automate it, and eventually I just bailed on it. I don't want to say that I bailed on it because I didn't feel it could work. It's just because, just talking about the things that you're talking about, it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of, that's going into it. So there's, just like you had just said, there's three different kinds of stops, and because I'm not a programmer, I felt that that was difficult for me to program that, because as a day trader that I've been my whole life, it's like I know when that conditions change. Sometimes it's hard to explain.
Yeah,
So,
intuitively you have that understanding, and that's something
yeah.
I don't really have, and that's a key thing for any trader, is to understand himself or herself, right? And approach the markets using their strengths. So I chose to use computers and program because that is truly my strength, and you're choosing your own intuition and analysis to approach the markets, because that is your strength. So that, I think that's very important for any trader.
Yes, and what I want to talk about next was how you actually were able to put those elements in there of conditions changing and things like that. I understand it, obviously, that once you have an idea, you can program it, but as a point and click trader, I can always adapt to the conditions, the changing markets that we're seeing on really on a regular basis. I mean, it's not too frequently, but it seems like the markets are going to go from busy to slow, or tweets are what matters, and then they don't. And then there's just so many things that I think that as a discretionary trader who's using a system like myself, consider myself a hybrid, I'm able to adapt to these conditions. And when you have something programmed, how are you adapting, and how are you able to know when maybe it's worked for a period of time, and then all of a sudden it's just not working, and maybe you're accumulating losses to where you have to go back to the drawing board or just pitch that strategy altogether?
You know, that is a very important question, because markets do evolve and they do change. The dynamics change. And I have seen that even with my program. And the way I see it is through the statistics. So in developing the program, through the backtesting and live testing data, I know what to expect in terms of how many or what percentage of winning trades versus losing trades I should have, and how much I should be making per trade versus or compared to what the losses are. So my target is to have at least 60% winning trades, and 40% of the trades should be losing trades. Of course, it's never that perfect, so there is some variance there. So when that changes, that is a red flag, that something is changing. And the other thing is, if those winning trades, instead of being two or three times on average, in terms of dollar amount, the winning trade is bigger than the losing trades, then that's another red flag. And I do look at that on a daily basis. I look at the stats and I look and see how the market is behaving. And I have made adjustments to the algorithms based on that, especially last year, towards the end of the year. Like, I saw those statistics change radically. And I went back to the drawing board and I started to look at what happened and how the dynamics in the market had changed. And I went back to the drawing board. I started to look at other data points to add into the equation to make the decision, for the computer to make the decision. And also looked at the parameters for stop losses and for trailing stops and adjusted those based on the dynamics. Now, that was done for that particular period of time, and I still had to go back for those past 15 years and so how it would behave on all those different market conditions. So it actually took a couple of months to implement that. So it, you know, took the new code and run it back again to that, you know, 2007 through 2009 period of time. And so, okay, what are the statistics here? What happened? You know, same thing, you know, 2003 to 2006, and did the same process of as if I had started from scratch.
So similar to what we do as point and click traders is, you know, you have to adapt, you have to look at your strategy.
Yes.
Is it you? Is it the strategy? What's going
yes.
on? Great stuff. But I want to move on and I want to talk about data science, because in a different conversation, you and I were talking about data science, and you told me this is a term that aggregates a few disciplines with the goal of gaining insights and understanding from data sets. And you told me that the disciplines are statistics, computer programming, machine learning, data mining, and data visualization. Talk to us about this.
Yeah, data science is a relatively new discipline, but it aggregates old disciplines in math and engineering. Statistics is very important because it's a branch of math that interprets and analyzes numerical data to infer a likelihood of an outcome. So in trading, this is key, right? We're always balancing, you know, what is the likelihood of this trade to be profitable? And we make a decision whether to enter or not based on that likelihood. So statistics plays key, and that is part of data science. And programming, it's you know, writing this set of instructions for a computer to execute, and that facilitates the analysis of data. And you know, these computer programs can be applied obviously to back testing and to eventually the automation of the trading itself. Machine learning is interesting. It's old. It's an older older than most people think, but it didn't become really viable up until recently with cloud computing, and it's an activity of humans teaching computers how to generate a program to have a specific outcome giving data sets. So you tell the computer, okay, I have this data and I am expecting this outcome when I see this data, and the computer will generate the program for you. In contrast with computer programming by a person, in machine learning, the computer itself generates the program or the instructions to be executed by another computer typically. So that is helpful because it can generate complex code in automatically for you. And this is very useful to me in backtesting and analyzing big data sets. I don't use it to trade itself. I write that code myself, but it is very useful in the analysis and the validation of a hypothesis. So data mining consists of looking and parsing through data sets that are typically large to extract important information that is not typically obvious. So for this, you usually need a computer, and you need software to do this. And it's not something that you can discern just by looking at the data itself. Usually it's hidden in there. And data visualization, it's important because it allows us to see the data or results in a visual format, like a picture or a graph. So when we look at price charts, you know, that's data visualization, and we use that every day. It's easy for us to understand data when we see pictures. So that's why it became important in data science.
Great stuff. I have one more question before we get into rapid fire, and I want to talk about modern algorithmic systems. And I've spoken with a lot of people, and I continue to get this conversation brought up where they're being developed by data scientists at really an increasing rate by using the disciplines that you just talked about to gain an edge in trading. Talk to us about that a little bit.
It is a trend in the industry. And if you think about it, computers don't get tired or have emotions. Us humans do. So computer systems can perform the same day in and day out. They don't get sick. They're capable of parsing through large amounts of data. Most humans can't do that. So in recent years, also with the cloud computing improvements, we have services like AWS or Azure that allow anyone with a credit card to rent a reliable and powerful computer for a very low cost and on demand. Then it drove this approach. So there's no need for a trader to purchase expensive computer hardware or figure out how to get good internet connectivity. All you need is really a credit card and access to this cloud computing platforms to have a machine ready for you. You don't need a lot of money because you're only going to pay for the time that you use this machine. So, my typical bill for the month in AWS, it's about $200. And I didn't have to buy a computer and figure out where I'm going to put the computer, install all the software. I didn't have to do any of that. It came ready. And with this platforms, I also began to see and leverage streamlined machine learning frameworks. So AWS, for example, offers SageMaker that helps you teach computers how to generate code for you based on some of the data sets that you give it. It formats the data. It does a lot of the legwork for you. And that brings the barrier to enter this field even lower.
Last question before rapid fire. To all the point-and-click traders out there that are interested in potentially taking their strategy and turning it into an algorithmic trading strategy, what is the first step they should take?
So I think choosing the right platform to begin your algorithm development is key. Systems like Trading Technologies or TradeStation give you a lot of higher level building blocks that you can use so you don't have to write complex code. So that's a really good way to start. That's how I started. I took these blocks and created the strategies that I could then do backtesting with. So things like how to implement a trailing stop and how to do a stop loss order, they're already built in. There are things that use Bollinger Bands or other indicators, RSI, etc. They're already built in. So you could start experimenting with those and basically gluing these little blocks together to create the strategy. And then do the back testing, and that's the hardest part. And the key is to, let's say, develop your strategy within, using the past 5 years, and see, if you're profitable or not, and choose something that you would have a high rate of success, whether it is, 60%, 70%, or something like that. And then understand that that might change at another time because of market conditions. So change the settings in the platform to go back and say, okay, I have this code and this strategy already coded, that works really great in the past 5 years. It gives me a 60% success rate, and I have, an X percentage of profit across all these different years. My drawdowns are low. So let me see what happens in, 2007 through 2009. And see and objectively look at that and see, oh, okay, so if you have very big losses, would you have been able to survive that period of time? And how can you improve that? And look at in the past, look at periods of time that offer you insight as to the variety of market conditions that your strategy might experience. So that, I think that's the key when you start, is that gaining that objectivity.
Love it. Two takeaways I get from that answer is, one, you didn't say go learn how to code, because I think that a lot of people think, well, I can't be an algo trader because I don't know how to code. I went
Gotcha.
about it the way that you said. I used Trading Technologies and also TradeStation to build a strategy and then test it. But like you said, and I learned today how, I mean, I've always known that backtesting was extremely important, but what I didn't do was I didn't go back and look far enough, number one, and I didn't compare different times. I basically just went back as far as it let me go back to backtest on the systems. And ultimately, that's what gave me my answer. And then I would go live, and then I just wouldn't get the same results as what the backtesting was giving me. So, really, just great insight today, Jamie. But we do have rapid fire questions still to go. So if you're ready for those, I'll fire away.
All right, let me grab a sip of water.
No problem. All right, everybody, our rapid fire segment is sponsored by Trading Technologies. Access the global markets from virtually anywhere with TT. They are the world's fastest commercially available futures trading platform. And now you can trade cryptocurrency spot and derivative markets side by side. For more information, please visit tradingtechnologies.com. Jamie, first question for you. What traders influenced your life the most and why?
I would say Ferry Hamsey. I read his book, Master Traders, and began to follow him and follow his blog. He got me inspired to apply math and programming to backtest and eventually automate my trading program. I follow him on Twitter and attend his webinars from time to time. He's very generous when it comes to sharing his knowledge about the market.
What was one of the hardest things for you to overcome in trading?
For me, the hardest thing was the emotions. It was really difficult to execute trades and remain calm. It was very stressful for me, so I had to remove myself from the trade execution. The emotions always run high and interfere with that execution of that trading plan or the trading system. So that meant that I needed to invest a lot of time and effort to develop this automated systems. It took me several years for me to first develop the skills and to create the successful process that we talked about earlier to develop the algorithms.
How has your trading process evolved over the years?
So I started trading stocks in 1996 in a fundamental and discretionary way. Through the years that I evolved into an algorithmic and automated trading strategies.
What is one attribute that you believe every trader should have?
I think traders now need to have computer and data analysis skills. I think that is required now.
Favorite book about trading?
Dark Pools by Scott Patterson. That's my favorite book. This book gave me an understanding of how the market is also a system that is software driven.
Favorite movie about trading?
The Big Short. I love that movie and the book. It shows how the markets are a zero-sum game, but it also shows how it can be a great opportunity for those who pay attention and the ones that are willing to do the legwork and sustain their own independent thinking.
What's the best piece of advice that you've received about trading?
The best advice I received was indirectly from Dr. Brett Steenbarger with his book, Enhancing Trading Performance. And that showed me that I had to look inward to find what I could use within myself to enhance my edge. And that pushed me towards software and engineering to develop the algorithms.
If you could give a piece of advice to the younger you, what would you say?
I would say understand what's innate in you, what can help you succeed in trading, figure out how to incorporate your strengths. And to pay attention to how technology is driving change in the field to remain competitive.
If you had an elevator pitch me your edge in trading, what would you say?
My trading edge lies in that I develop data-driven, thoroughly back-tested trading algorithms using a sound engineering and scientific process. It all starts with a hypothesis that needs to be proven and tested with empirical data that is then implemented and automated in software. That is how Algorithmic Futures developed the Tandem Trading Program.
Last question for today. What's your favorite thing to do when you're not trading?
Oh, just hanging out with my son. I love doing anything with him, from helping him with software, watching a movie, or playing video games.
Nice. Where can people find you on social media, preferably Twitter, and give us a website to check out?
So, algorithmicfutures.com is my website. And I haven't been very active in Twitter, but my Twitter handle is Algorithmic, FUT1, Algorithmic Futures 1.
Jamie, what can I say? This was so much fun. Had a blast speaking with you today. Great insight. Thank you so much for coming on Futures Radio Show.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you have any questions or comments for myself or my guests, please visit futuresradioshow.com and sign up to be a premium member for free. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.